Okay, let's turn to John chapter 13. Okay, we're not going to read over all this. We're just going to hit certain points. And this is when the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that the hour was come. And we know the hour's come. He is going to go and fulfill his Father's perfect will. He will go to the cross. The supper being ended, if you go down, he washes the disciples' feet. And then when you get to verse 8, Peter says to him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash not your feet, thou hast no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "He that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all." For he knew he should betray him. Therefore said he, "You're not all clean." Well, if you look at this and he tells him, "I have to wash your feet," but I want you to notice that first of all, they're sitting at the table, they're eating with Jesus. Jesus tells him he must wash his feet. But if you look on down, it says in verse 15, or 14, "If then your Lord and Master has washed your feet," okay, "if he washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example." Christ is our example. "That you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." Well, you go on down, he's explaining about washing feet, but then sitting at that table, I want you to think of this. When Jesus had thus said, here he is, he's sitting, he's washed feet, he's explained it to Peter. But now when you get to verse 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in his spirit. He was troubled in his spirit. And he testified and said, "Verily, verily, truly, truly." Now you think of sitting at the place to eat one with another. And he says, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you, one of you that is sitting at this table, you shall betray me." I can't imagine having to know that someone was going to betray me and sitting there eating. But you talk about love, what love is. And I looked over in Corinthians. I'll just read some of them. Because love is long-suffering. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love rejoices in truth. How could Jesus sit at that table unless he knew he was doing his Father's will? He's not troubled because of all the stuff. He has already said, "I delight to do your will, O Lord." He has to bear all these things. He believes all things. He has hope in all these things. He endures all things. But our life is in Christ. Our life is going to be fulfilled in one word, and it's called love. He knew somebody was going to betray them. You think of that. We're all sitting here together. What if we knew? What if the Lord came and said, "You know what? Sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so is going to betray you." It's because they're in the flesh. They're not saved. And that's why Judas, he was not a believer. He was not a believer. People say he was, but I say he wasn't. So we go on because the word says, when you go on in the scripture, he will tell you that he's going to betray me. The disciples look one at another. And you think how they're feeling. They're doubting of whom he spake. Which one of us is going to do it? Are we really going to do this to Jesus? Now, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, of whom Jesus loved. And he loved all of them. You see, when you talk about love, He loved, but John had a special love. John was so close to him that John could hear. And that's what I believe with Jesus. I do believe that if someone's going to betray me, I will know. I believe he lets you know, he prepares you. It's called preparation time. And if he doesn't want you to know, he won't. But one of his disciples whom Jesus loved, he was leaning upon his breast. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him. Simon's not going to go over and ask Jesus. No one else at the table wants to ask Jesus. But Simon Peter beckons him, John, that he should ask. Ask him who it is that he's speaking of. Who's going to do this? Then lying on Jesus' breast, John simply just says, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, he it is. Immediately he answered his question. He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped his sop, he dips it in, he gave it to Judas Iscariot. When he gave it to him, after that sop, Satan entered in unto him. Then said Jesus unto him. He's looking at him. Now, I do it. These words are real to me. But it's like, that thou doest, just do it quickly. You know, have you ever said that to someone? I have. If you're going to do it quickly. Just get it over with. Now, no man at the table knew for what intent. What is he talking about? What's going to happen? They don't understand this. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said to him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received that sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now. So Jesus is beginning to speak. Judas Iscariot has left. It is night. Now the Son of Man glorified. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, okay, here we go again. He's going to begin talking. We already went through the washing of the feet, a wonderful time of fellowship at the table, washing each other's feet. Now they found out someone's going to betray Jesus. And now Jesus says, little children, yet a little while I'm with you. You shall seek me, as I said to the Jews. Whither I go, you cannot come. You can't come. So now I say to you the same thing. I have to go. But he says, I have something to tell you. A new commandment I give unto you. While I've been on this earth, I've had to be long-suffering, forbearing, patient, kind. Kindness matters. I've rejoiced in truth. I've learned submission by the things I've suffered. Well, a new commandment I give unto you. And that commandment is this, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men, by what? By your love, not fake love. You can pretend love. You can do nice things. Is it real? What's the attitude in your heart? By this love, all men know that you are my disciples. If you have love one to another, love is not just giving things. Love is kind. Love is going to rejoice in truth when you try to bring error to my ears. Love is going to have hope beyond what it sees, beyond what it feels. It's going to have long suffering and forbearance. It should not hurt because it's hurting you. It's because it's hurting Jesus. It's bringing reproach. And you should hurt for his sake. You will learn to endure all things as Christ did. But it's only by love. So here they go. Now they've heard he's going to go away. Can you imagine how these guys are feeling? They've heard fine. They've heard wash your feet. They've heard someone's going to deny him. Betray him. And then here's poor Simon Peter. And he looks at him. He says, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, whither I go, you cannot follow me now. You can't. He said, why can't he? Because he is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. I must go to the cross. I must die on that cross. I must be the Lord of a new creation and come up in that victory. Thou shalt not follow me afterwards. And Peter said to him, oh, Lord, why can't I follow you? I would lay down my life for your sake. Words, cheap words. You see, sometimes we say things and we don't even know what we're saying because your own heart can deceive you. We don't even know our own flesh, our own capability. We have to come to the place that you experience it, just like Paul did in Romans chapter 7. He had to experience that battle between the two creations. He had to experience it. And when he did, he learns more truth. He walks in it. That's when he came to the place that he said, I thank God through Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's where his victory is going to come from. The new man, the new creation, the resurrection life. And he said, verily, verily, I say to you, the cock shall not crow. You are going to deny me three times. Wouldn't that hurt? If I had a friend or someone that I really loved, and they come up and said, you won't follow me. You'll deny me three times. And it's not going to be in months. Look how fast it's going to happen. Well, let's go to 14, because I'm sure they're pretty down and burdened about now. I would be. Chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. When I read this, I think God has even told us, the love of many have waxed cold. These things are going to come to pass. And we know that when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. We're going to see the things that people have chose, being saying they're lovers of God, but they're not. They're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. He said, you know, what's coming ahead, even to his disciples, we're learners of him also. The things that are ahead, the things that are going to come to pass, I don't want your hearts troubled. You know, nations are going to get troubled. There are people around you that may become troubled. Your families may become troubled. But keep your heart. Let your heart be steadfast. And secure in what? The just shall live by faith. I choose to believe what God has said. Yes, things are going to wax worse and worse. You can be deceived. But you see, the good news in all this is when you don't let your heart, it's like, why are we not letting our heart? I could say, well, I'm not going to let my heart get troubled. Well, yes, you will. You know how you don't? Because of believing the truth. There's a place, a hidden rest here. It's a place where you can rest. He said, I don't want your hearts troubled. I want you content. Ye believe in God. Now I want you to believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And I heard Norm say this once. He goes, you know, me kind of wonders if that's not my glorified body. But when I went in and I read mansions, I thought, oh, I'm going to find out a big old thing about this big old mansion. In my Father's house. What are we living in right now? If this earthly house falls, this temporary dwelling place, right? We're talking about an eternal home. This is with my Father in his house. There are many mansions. This is a place where the rich people live. But these are rooms. And when you go into these rooms of this mansion, it's a place that is prepared. every place that you take in the Word of God and you enter in, every man is not going to go into each of those same rooms. Some will, some won't. I go, and here's why. I go to prepare a place for you. And he said, if it weren't true, I would never have told you this. But it is true. I am leaving, folks. I've got to go. No, you can't come yet, Peter. You can't. But he says, where I'm going, it's for a purpose. I am going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. It will be secure. It's a place of rest. Every place that you enter into, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Okay, so let's get off the fact that Jesus is leaving, or this person's gone, or this one's leaving, and woe is me. It's like, no, I choose to believe the truth. First of all, I delight in the Father's good will, his perfect will. You see, get off what we see, get off what we feel. Go by what we heard. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, that scripture was the beginning of my big walk with God. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Do you know everywhere I go, I'm hearing that scripture today? I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning, and I am the end. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. You see, I am. Now you. I am all these things for you. I'm going to come again, that where I am, you're going to be there also. That's a hope. That's a joy. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Well, here comes Thomas. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not. We know not whither you goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus just looks at him in simplicity. Just say it like it is. The Lord says to him, Thomas, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. And you know, I've been looking at life and live all week long. Life. There's an I in there. Which I is living the life? Which I is in life? Which I is in live? The life I now live. Which I is alive? Is it the old or the new? Or is it the double-minded man? Carnal, spiritual. Which can't happen. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you want to come into God's presence, it'll be in Christ. It'll be because you came the way that he said. And I, you know, people came against me just this week and said, narrow is the way. Few be that find it. It's a small rib portion. That's why they don't see the grace of God. No matter what they do, they measure lives, they measure works, they measure the things that we should do and what we didn't do. It has nothing to do with it. It is called the life I now live. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Few be that find that rest because they're too busy. What did Martha say? You need to make Mary get over here and do something. Well, she ain't doing nothing. Oh, honey, she chose the best part. And it doesn't mean you won't do anything. It's your attitude and why you're doing it. Let God show hearts. Why are you doing it? And then Mary, she's just sitting at the feet of Jesus because I got to learn of him. I got to know him because I'm going to be found in him. I got to spend time with him in his word. You know, just like these guys. Why did he have to go to the cross? Why is he talking about a mansion? Well, I don't want to be in this house forever. a temporary dwelling place? Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas says, well, I don't know. And how can we know the way? And Jesus answers him again, because I am. I am that way. I am that truth, and I am that life. And no man cometh to Father except by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him, and you've seen him. You know, a lot of people think that you do. And they'll say, that was so nice. No, it's he did it. How did you get that person to speak when nobody could get him to talk? How did you get him to come forth and say, I need a Savior? We didn't. We just spoke the word, and he brought the increase. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffeth us. And Jesus said to him, I have been with you so long a time, and yet hast thou known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Why do you keep saying, show us the Father? Who do you say that I am? Believe me, in verse 11, verse 10, believest thou not? Verse 11, believe me, I am in the Father, and the Father's in me. Verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works, I love that part. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. Why? Not just to answer your prayer. It's according to the will of God. He does it that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And when he said there are many mansions, there are many sons coming into glory. Sons. When he was talking to the disciple, he said, my little children. We have to grow up in these things. We have to begin to take them. And I tell you, it's called endure hardness. You're going to have to stand. And the enemy's going to come. If it's a person, you got to remember, you're not my enemy. You're not my enemy. My enemy, this is a spiritual warfare going on here. Otherwise, I'm going to get caught up in this grandchild said this and this person did that. No, they are not your enemy. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's against the prince of the power of the air. We are a chosen people. We've been blessed. We've been seated in high places. And if you're going through trials and tribulations, and they should be getting tougher, if you are, you're living in the heavenlies. That's why the devil is bothering you. If you're not taking your place in the heavenlies, there are some, I see Christians today, they go, I don't know what people are so worried about. Nothing bothers me. I go, I'll tell you something. Those trials get harder and harder. And you know why? Because we must decrease. It can't be anything of us. I must decrease that he may increase. You see, I didn't have any glory in the flesh, but the glory is him. And we get to enter into that. And it's like to think of all that he's done. Everything, he's made a way. But the good news, folks, he's coming back. He's coming to take us home. He's going to meet us in the clouds. I want to be ready for the first trump. Now, how am I going to be ready? Listen to his word. Trust him for it. Don't work. Stop working to get there. I got to change this. Oh, if I don't change this, I'm never going to get ready. Fall in love with Jesus. I love this. Jesse gave an example of that. He said, I used to do this and this. And he said, we don't even mention them. But he goes, but I met someone. And I fell in love. And now those things that I used to love, I don't love him anymore. I got something better. I got something better. He fell in love with his wife. When we are really falling in love, these things don't matter anymore. He found a greater love. You found the love wherewith he hath loved you. And I know he's bringing us to that place. I know he is with my life. And it takes the trials, takes the heat. Lord, they don't even know what they're doing. Please be gentle with them. They don't know. I know they think they know what they're doing against me, but it's okay. Help me just to have grace in my heart toward them. Let me love them in spite of it, just like Jesus. It's like, let that life be alive in me. Help me to grow up in him in that life. And then, because think of what he had to go through. And his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Don't, you know, people around you, they may get caught up in things, but he goes, when you see what's about to happen, remember I loved you. I must go to the cross. They're going to have to watch it. We see people going through tribulation today. It's like you're watching what's going on. What are they seeing? How are you responding once again? How are you responding to what happened? There's a lot of how Jesus responded. He opened not his mouth. Lord, guard my mouth. Guard what comes out. Because if my heart is troubled, I'm going to lean into my own understanding, just like Thomas. We don't know which way to go. Why can't we go? I'll go with you. You know, we think that, and that's all good, but he has to show you, no, you cannot do it. You can't. Once you get into the deep I can'ts, you're going to fall into the deep I am what I am by the grace of God. That's all, Stan. Father, I just come to you in Jesus' name. I praise you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts coming and going. Father, I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you because if we hear you and we let your word sink deep in our heart, Father, that is where we're going to fall deeper in love with Jesus, and there will be such a change, and people will ask questions. You'll have an answer, but it will be a new answer for a new day. And Father, I just ask you to be with your people. Help each one of them, Lord, whether they're here in this house or in another meeting. Lord, just help them. Bring them into the plain path. Bring them into the true path. And just bring them into Christ and Christ alone. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.